It's time for our weekly Suburban Farm Yarn with actor, activist and Green Thumb storyteller Monica Main. Today, Monica and I will be discussing all things roses. Good morning, Juan, and welcome to the show today.
Good morning, Maddie. And a rose by any other name would still smell as sweet, as Juliet said. And you can be my Romeo, listening to me, eavesdropping while I'm saying these lines on my balcony. Yes, roses have been around forever, peoples, haven't they? And we're going to talk roses now because we're still in the season of Jilba. That's that transitional time of year in the Noongar seasons. And so it's a good time to prune those roses. Some people have already pruned them, but if you prune them early, like in July or June, it can still be quite cold. And when the roses have been pruned, they start shooting, and it's still a bit chilly there. So I tend to prune now in August. Now, how long do you think roses have been around for, and where do you think they come from, Maddie?
Oh, here we go. I knew something like this was coming. No amount of research prepares me for your questions, Mon, let me tell you. So how long have they been around for? And,
Where do you think they come from?
Where did I think they come from? I feel like they sound like they feel like they'd be a sort of European. I kind of imagine they'd come from some part of Europe. I've seen them in kind of medieval kind of depictions throughout history, I guess. So somewhere in Europe.
There are varieties native to Europe. There are some in North America. There are some in Northwest Africa. But the majority come from where a lot of things come from. They're native to Asia. So from like 5,000 years ago, Confucius wrote about them. I mean, he wasn't writing 5,000 years ago, but Confucius wrote about them. A lot of species are native to Asia. The roses are in the Rosaceae family, which is kind of like everything's in that family. Well, not everything, but lots of things are, like strawberries and fruit trees. And if you look at flowering fruit trees, like apples or peaches or apricots or plums and strawberry flowers, they look like a rose. So they do have their flowers are very much the same, and you can see why they're related and why they're all in that Rosaceae family. So there's hundreds of species and there's tens of thousands of cultivars. People have been growing them for their looks and for their scent years and years and years and years. So there's climbing roses, there's trailing roses, there's shrub, there's bush, there's miniatures, there's cultivars, there's hybrids, and they're grown for, as I say, their, you know, colour or their fragrance. Two very common, the two of the big sort of groups are, there's the Floribunda, and they basically grow continuously. And a very one that everyone, I'm sure, is very familiar with is the Iceberg. It's which is a Floribunda rose, and it's got a white flower, a very faint scent, and they're really tough. They grow, you see them in standards. They've got a big open sort of bush, and the thing about Floribundas is they've got these repeat flowers and clusters of flowers on the stem, and they're very pretty. They look good in groups. I had a friend a few years ago who got married, and they pruned the roses. They're going to get married in their garden, and he pruned his roses 6 weeks before the wedding, and they were iceberg roses. So he pruned them 6 weeks before so that there would be a flush of blooms on the wedding day, and there was. So 6 weeks. It was like magic. So Floribunda iceberg roses are a hybrid that are tough and manageable. They were bred or created in 1958 in Germany. And now there's a very pale pink cultivar of that, which is just as hardy and just as pretty and just as... So they're kind of like a fail-safe. But the ones that you're probably really familiar with are the hybrid tea roses, and they're very large and showy. And they've got one flower per stem, and they usually have three flushes, as they call it, of flowers through summer into late autumn. And the key is, once a rose is flowered, prune below that flower, the dead flower, down the stem, and give it a light prune. So you're kind of perpetually pruning a few, just through summer when the flowers have bloomed, and it'll encourage more flowers. And that's what we want, basically, don't we? And those look, the classic hybrid tea roses, they smell amazing, that tea rose smell, and the famous ones. And I remember these from my grandmother growing them, but they are still super, super popular. I mean, there's millions. When you go to the hardware store or the nurseries, it can be a bit overwhelming. But the fail-safe amazing ones are like Mr. Lincoln, which is the dark blood red one, which just smells incredible. There's the fabulous Dolly Parton, which, like the name, is kind of bit leery. it's a reddy orange colour. Amazing smell. Peace, which is a sort of a pinky apricot yellow. Amazing smell. Blue Moon, which is not blue. It's a mauve colour. Equally smells amazing. And look, I've got another question for you, Maddie. What is the definition of a blue moon?
In context to roses? Oh, no.
just
the definition of blue moon.
Blue moon. It's just a nice, because I love the moon and it's just a nice, interesting fact.
Yeah.
When do you get a blue moon?
So does it occur in addition to a full moon? It comes around every...
It's a full moon. It's the second full moon in a month. So you can only get a full moon every 28 days, but some months have got 28 or 29 or 30 days or 31 days. So occasionally there are chances if you get a full moon right at the beginning of the month and you can get one right at the end of the month. Obviously not every month because the full moon doesn't always... But if a full moon falls, you know, on the first or second or third, you have got the chance of having another full moon, and that's called a blue moon. So the second full moon that might occur in any one month is called a blue moon. Just a bit of trivia, Maddie. Anyway, the blue moon rose is not blue, it's mauve. And there's McCartney climbing roses there. I mean, they're not a hybrid tea rose, but they're really tough rose, and they're a beautiful climbing rose with a very old-fashioned open petal. They look like a poached egg, actually. They're white with a yellow centre. Another classic nice one that smells fabulous is Just Joey, which is apricot colour. So they all smell magnificent. But, of course, the trick is, at this time of year, if you haven't pruned people's, you need to prune. Mm. All roses need pruning. And the biggest mistake people make is what, Maddie? When they're pruning their roses, what do you reckon the biggest mistake is?
It's either too early, or as you were saying, it's either before or after that 6-week period that you were saying for a certain rose. I'm trying to think.
Oh, no, that's just if you wanted to get, make sure you've got flowers coming for a special occasion. Mm-hmm. Those icebergs, you can really kind of control the bloom on those. But the biggest mistake people make with pruning is they're too timid. They're shy. They're too timid. Roses. The biggest mistake you can make is not pruning them hard enough. And roses should be pruned by half. And if that kind of gives you the heebie-jeebies, prune them by a third and then prune them by another third. So you really want to cut out any dead wood. So anything that looks dead, get rid of it. Or anything that's dying back, cut it right back to the base. And you also want to open up the plant because you need air to circulate. Because roses are very susceptible to fungal infections. Aphids love it. You know, so you really want to have a nice open plant. If there's lots of bushes, the middle of the bush is full of plant growth, there's no air circulating. It's just not great and healthy for the plant. So any branches that are poking in towards the plant or crossing over, get rid of them. Think about trying to create a bowl or a vase shape. So you want to kind of make the rose grow outwards, not into itself. And so if you let a rose just grow however it wants to, it will just grow into this knotted, clustery. It'll be crap. It'll be unhealthy. It'll look bad. You'll get spindly growth. And the rose will not thrive. And after a few years, you'll think, oh, my rose is dead. Well, that's pretty much, what happens. So the key to pruning too is if you've got any branches, like I said, that are dead or that are crossing across each other, you don't want them. So you want to, get rid of those ones. And if it's thinner than a pencil, remove it. So if you're trying to work out, what bit can I cut off thinner than a pencil, get rid of it. Unless, of course, you've just bought the plant where most of, there'll be a couple of shoots and they will be pencil thick. But once you let that grow for a year, they will be thicker than a pencil. And so you don't want to prune it like you're pruning a hedge where you're just sort of tip pruning. You really need to be go in there and choose, you know, oh, well, I'm going to keep this one as a leader shoot. I'm going to prune the top of it down. I'm going to, you know, take off the woody bits that, or the bits poking into it. So you might only be left with, you know, two, three, four main shoots. There will be some shoots in there that you call water shoots. Now, they're the new growth, so they're pale green, and you just want to tip prune them because they're basically the ones that are, you know, only a year old. They're going to get woodier as they get older, and they're going to definitely have flowers. Now, there's root stock that you want to get rid of. So most roses are grafted, and anything that grows below the graft, which is sort of usually down on ground level, and you can often see the graft. It's like a little lump very close to the base of the stem. And below the graft, you've usually got a very old-fashioned, vigorous variety. So it's got really strong root growth. But if that below the graft is allowed to grow up and sucker, that will take over and you'll end up with this kind of feral, ancient, old-fashioned, gnarly thing that won't really flower and will be like a weed. So you really want to make sure you get rid of those rootstock. And you'll notice they look different. They're often quite thorny and they've got lots of fine leaves because they're growing from a very old-fashioned variety, which is vigorous and hardy, but not the cultivar you want to grow up above, which is, you know, what your special flowers you've chosen are going to be growing on.
There you go.
So I believe you had a question.
Yeah, I was going to say I have a couple of questions, but as you were saying, Mon, it's actually good information for me because I'm listening, but cutting your roses, making sure you're cutting them a little bit more heavier than what you'd think as opposed to trimming them lightly. You want to make sure you're kind of cutting it from more of a deeper sort of edge that you'd think, because I remember helping my mum in the garden when I was younger, pruning roses or helping out with that kind of stuff and not realising that you really have to kind of cut them back to make sure that they flower for next season. But we do have a couple of questions. About pruning in particular from Peter in Lansdale. And Peter says they have a standard rose, but it is very straggly, thin branches that still produce flowers. So we were just chatting on that as well. Peter wants to know how to prune so it's more of the classical round shape as opposed to a standard rose with straggly, thin branches.
Well, the thing about standard rose is they're growing on a long stem. And that above, at the top of that stem, grafted onto the top, is usually like a climbing rose variety. So that's where you get that kind of bush shrub-like bit plonked on the top of a long stem. Often they need staking because the top can get really bushy with all the flowers and it can flop over. So it's important to, when you plant them, put in a stake just to give it a bit of support. Now, the key though is you still have to keep in mind how roses are pruned. Like, so that top can get all knotted and straggly and it can still have dead twigs in there. Don't get so particular about anything smaller than a pencil, because often with a standard rose, those tops are just kind of smaller, thinner little stems. But once again, get rid of the dead wood. You can definitely prune it by half. Try and thin it out a bit. Often they can get really knotted and gnarly and you just get this sort of scraggly, it all kind of grows inwards. You want to encourage it to get new growth growing outwards to extend that shape rather than have a tiny little knot on the top. You want a kind of a bigger, try and think of it like you want a floribunda, which is more like a shrub rose, a bush rose on the top. So you still want to encourage air circulation. You still want to get rid of dead wood. You still want to be judicious and don't be shy, and you still want to give them a good prune, and you want to open up the centre a bit. So think about with those ones too, because they can get really knotted and straggly. Think about just trying to tidy it up, open it up, thin it out a bit. Make sure you're pruning off all dead wood, taking it back by half. So good luck, Peter. It's probably, it just hasn't been properly, you know, you need to really give it a red hot go and try and follow all those things I've just said to really encourage some new fresh growth.
There you go. We've also got another message from Tim in Hammy Hill. And Tim says, I've got heaps of rose bushes at mine and want to get rid of most of them to make way for natives, and was wondering if they'd survive if I potted them up or transplanted them somewhere else. And he was going to go see if anyone in his local area wanted them as well. But just wanted to know, making way for natives, if they can be sort of moved around the garden.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure what varieties he's got, but if you prune them back, make sure you get a good root ball with them, and you definitely can put them in a pot, but definitely a pot, you know, 30 centimetres diameter or bigger to contain that root ball. And now's a good time to prune them and pop them up. So, I mean, if you want to remove them anyway, give it a go, because some of them, roses do grow well in pots. I don't know what varieties you've got, as I say, but it sounds like, you know, it's worth a go. And certainly people buy bare-rooted roses in the middle of winter. So roses do become dormant. They're just about to start their growth spurt now. So I'd give them a prune before digging them up. And like I say, make sure you put them in a fair-sized pot, because the pots you buy them in, when you buy them, you know, they're only like 15 to 20 centimetres. You can't really grow a rose in a pot that size. It needs, you know, they need a fair amount of space for their roots to grow out and to build up a good plant. Good on you for putting in some more natives. The birds are going to love you. But yeah, I'd definitely give it a go. And the key about when you prune roses or when you're potting them up, let them settle in after you've pruned them or potted them on, and don't fertilise them for a couple of weeks. You really want to get the new growth started. And when you see the new buds bursting out, start fertilising them then. I just use the pelletised chook manure. That's really good, but you can get specific rose synthetic fertiliser if you're that way inclined, or if you're putting them in a pot, you can have slow release fertiliser so you don't over fertilise them. And of course, the key to pruning is sharp, clean tools. So make sure you disinfect your secateurs or your big pruners, and make sure they're nice and sharp, because any bit where you've pruned that's a bit torn, that can let in fungus and pests. And this horrible pest called chili thrips that's been everywhere for the last couple of years, which decimates roses, and everyone gets depressed because they're everywhere in Perth, people. It's not just you. The key to chili thrips is don't spray, because spray tends to go everywhere and it's a noxious poison. You can get granulated pellets to put on the base of your plant, and then the rose actually absorbs that into the leaves, and then the chili thrips will eat the leaves and die. So it's just kind of a way of controlling, but you really need to eradicate the chili thrips, and yeah, use the pelletized stuff, don't spray. And good luck in Hammy Hill. Great time to be planting your natives, so yeah, good luck transplanting or transferring your roses.
There you go. We've touched on heaps today, Mon, all things to do with roses on today's segment. I learned a little bit more about some of the names of roses. We talked about the hybrid tea roses, Dolly Parton rose, Blue Moon rose, and a bit about the history of roses as well, how I thought maybe they came from Europe. But no, in fact, they did stem from Asia, as you were saying. Mon, it's been a pleasure. I learned heaps on our segment, and I look very forward to chatting with you soon.
Don't forget to smell the roses, people. Stop and have a good sniff.
Thanks, Mon. That was actor, activist and Green Thumb storyteller Monica Main chatting with us on today's segment all about roses. Monica will be back with us again very soon for another edition of Suburban Farm Yarns.